Amen. And it's wonderful to celebrate him. Can I hear an amen? All right. It's wonderful to know Jesus, to know that he loves us and that he is all out for us. God is for you, not against you. Amen. God is not against you. No matter what you are going through, no matter what your thoughts may be, I want you to know that God is for you. God loves us so much, he gave us Jesus. That's the very evidence of God's love. For God so loved me that he gave me Jesus Christ to die on a cross, resurrect from the dead, all for me. Amen. Come on, it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter whether you're going through a time of lack or different things that you are facing in life. The fact remains that God loves you and God created you and me for a purpose in life. Amen. That his desire is that he wants to bless us. You know, the more you have grandkids, and grandkids teach you a lot about God. Kids, not so much. But grandkids teach you a lot about God. Little Judah is now starting to walk, you know, holding things, grabbing things, but he crawls a lot. But the moment he sees me at a distance, he will crawl all the way as quickly as he can. And he will grab a hold of my pants, and then he will stand up. And then he will give me that look, which I can understand. It simply means, carry me. Carry me, all right? And he doesn't have to say anything. Just the look in my direction moves me, being full of evil, a man who is not as good as God. And if I know how to immediately reach down and pull him up to myself, I want you to know God is far greater. Just a look in his direction. No wonder the Bible says, you know, if we draw near to him, he will draw close to us. Amen? Anyone who comes to God, God will not cast away. Can I hear an amen? That's the God you and I serve. This morning, we are still going into the Gospel of Mark. And it's so exciting as I begin to go into it again. I've read it so many times. Over the years of being a believer and being a preacher and preach from it so many times. But once again, we need to understand that the Word of God is a living Word. Come on, amen? And because it is living, God always has new things to share with us. Not new truths, not deeper truths, just simple little things that we can understand His love for us. Amen. So let's go to Mark chapter 1. Can we have the scriptures up there? Do I have to turn my thing? Okay. All right, Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. We are finishing the chapter, Mark chapter 1. At least, you know, you would have read through Gospel of Mark chapter 1. So I want us to read this together. Everybody ready to read the word? Come on, are you ready to read? Still got the biscuits all stuck inside. Chinese New Year, love letters and biscuits. All right, let's go. All right, from the top. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Okay, let me put this on. I'm supposed to turn to the next one. Okay. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. Now, another translation says, and he sternly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, let's read this one, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go on your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely, and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Now, I want us to read a parallel scripture, and this is Luke's gospel. This is just the same, but I want you to notice how Luke, who is a doctor, begins to describe the man with leprosy. All right, let's go. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. I wonder whether this... Okay. Then Jesus ordered him, Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. Now let's just stop there. I'm not going to show you a lot of slides this morning because I want you to focus a little bit. Now, one of the things about what the Lord has been impressing on my heart is we must believe and must keep on praying that the God of the Bible becomes real to us, that he becomes alive in our midst. Come on. See, otherwise, all we are doing is just hearing sermons and having meetings and praying things, and we don't really believe that the God of the Bible actually wants to come and dwell in the midst of his people. And I'm teaching on the book of Acts, and I challenge you to come on the book of on Tuesday night, because there it's stirring up, God is stirring our hearts to believe that the book of Acts is actually God's pattern for the church today. That God wants to do exactly what he did in the book of Acts, because that's the glory of God concerning his church, where the church is powerful, where the church touches a whole nation, and the church turns the world upside down with ordinary people like you and me. When I begin to look at that, and then I look, you know, individuals like myself and all that, and I think, is this possible? And yet, when you look in the book of Acts, they were all ordinary people. Just ordinary people. God just took them off the streets. And God used them so mightily. And I was sharing with on Tuesday night, I said, listen, don't take working within the church context, serving in the church, as God as God's plan of using you. That's how God is using me. When God uses you, you will see God kind of results. Come on, are you listening? See, the disciples decided, you know, they were going to wait on the Lord in prayer and read the word so that they can be effective in ministry to a world. So they chose individuals from the church to help out in the church. Come on, amen, right? To help out, to wait on the tables, because they needed VIPs. They needed VIPs. To do all the different work within the church. These were chosen by the disciples. The leadership of the church chose these people and said, would you be volunteers to help out in stuff that the church needs to do? So different individuals said yes, they began to help out. They chose out different individuals, but these individuals did not say, well, I'm now a part of the VIP team, so this is how God is using me to serve him. They went a bit further. People like Philip, who was chosen to serve tables, became a tremendous evangelist because they did not limit God using them to just church activities. I hope that makes sense. Come on. Which means that when you are outside, God can use you mightily. I don't think Philip ever thought of himself as being a great evangelist and a big name, you know, have big meetings with a big name up there, having evangelistic meetings. I think he just went and started to share Christ with people. And then when he began to lay hands on people, he discovered people got healed. Because he was also carrying the power of Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Well, you're very quiet this morning. After Chinese New Year, cannot even say amen. That's bad. That's really bad, man. But I'm really praying that we can come to a place where we can understand that God can use us beyond what we ask or imagine. God wants to surprise us as we begin to have faith in his name. One of the things God made real to me was, you know, Acts chapter 3, where Peter and John, remember that time? I'm going into the book of Acts anyway. Acts chapter 3, where they get the guy at the gate beautiful. Remember that one? And silver and gold have I none, but in what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. Now they come to Peter and John, and they are amazed at this miracle. And this is what they say. It is faith in his name that has made him strong. And I pray that we will understand the power of Jesus' name. When we mention his name, why do you think the name of Jesus is being used as a curse word? To take away the power of it. So that when we pray, Father, we ask that you will bless our food. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Means nothing. But when we say in the name of Jesus, something powerful happens in the realm of the spirit. Diseases bow down to the name of Jesus Christ. Powers are broken in the name of Jesus Christ. So the enemy wants to play it down so that we think it's just the end of a prayer or just another formula. It is not. When we speak the name of Jesus, all of heaven rises up to attention. Because his name is the name where every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth shall bow. Hallelujah. So now I'm getting a little bit more excited about the name of Jesus. I know it carries tremendous power that when we pray in his name, something good happens. Amen? All right, so this morning, first of all, I want us to look at the leper himself. He was a man who had a great disease. Now, I put myself in his shoes. Now, every other sickness, almost every other sickness, is something that happens on the inside. Cancer, whatever it is. It begins, everything happens on the inside of you. So, it's like it is hidden. Nobody knows. Unless you go to a doctor, he examines you, and then he says, sorry, I've got bad news for you. You've got cancer. Or some other sickness. It's all on the inside, and nobody knows about it. You can decide, okay, I'm going to just, since I don't want to go to some of these big hospitals because it's cheaper to die. That's what I tell Pastor Life. And I said, if I'm discovered with some major disease, please let me just die. Don't take me to the hospital because I don't want my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren to continue to pay the debt. Okay? I'd rather die. But what we are saying is we can stay at home. We can have the comfort of our family with us. And they will be with us, praying with us, staying with us. You know, friends will come and visit. Church members, I hope, will come visit me. Hopefully, prayerfully, wishfully. All right. But, you know, it's just that you can have the comforts of all these things around you. But the moment you discover, this is 2,000 years ago, that you had leprosy, it was the worst thing that could ever happen to anyone. Because immediately this man would know, I would now have to leave my family. I would not have anybody come close to me. I would not be able to hug my wife. I would not be able to touch my children. I would have to leave my family. I would have no more job. I would not be able to attend church anymore because now I have to live outside and I have to live with people who are lepers. I have to be a castaway, outcast of society. And then I have to undergo this terrible disease that will start eating me up and I wouldn't even feel the pain of it. At least with cancer or with any other sickness, you can feel the pain, you can feel the fever. But with this, I will be totally insensitive to everything. And so this man has a great disease. A disease that would cause him to lose his fingers, cause him to lose his ears, his nose, his eyelids, lips. Luke describes him as a man who was covered. Now, this doctor, Mark does not say anything. He just says a man with leprosy. Because to Mark, lepers are all the same. But to Luke, he begins to do a little bit of investigation and he discovered that this man was actually full from head to toe. No more toes, fingers gone. Very hoarse and raspy voice. I cannot describe to you exactly what he looked like, but it must have been grotesque. And the reason why God begins this miracle in Gospel of Mark is to show us that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. He wants to show us the extremity of a disease and then contrast it with the extremity of your problem that you are going through. That it cannot be compared with how bad it really was for this man. And if the Lord can touch him and make him whole, then there is nothing too difficult for God to do for you and me. Come on, amen. A great disease. He was a man with a great desire as well. The reason why I say his desire was great, not just a desire, but a great desire, was because he somehow desired for something that was impossible. Nobody could heal leprosy. It was incurable. This was understood by everybody. There was no doctor on the planet that could ever do something like this to heal leprosy complete. Now, to stop the disease is one thing, but to bring about wholeness is another thing. So he had a great desire, a desire that was beyond, above and beyond his imagination or what he could ask for. Everybody following with me? Desires are so important. And when we have a desire, our desire should be, and that's what I want to provoke in you every Tuesday night, every Sunday, to believe God for something that God can do for you. A lot of the things, actually, we can get it solved. And the sad part about it is, you know, most of our prayers are focused upon, our prayers are not really prayers. They are basically wishes. And it's like, I wish, rather than, Lord, I pray for this to happen. It's more like, I wish. There has to be a desire for the impossible to take place. Come on, amen. All right? I've got desires for the church. I've got desires for this country. I've got desires for this city, which are impossible. And that's why I like to read stories like this. Because we must have desires that are so big that God must be able to touch and come through. Come on, amen. See, and the thing about it is, he not only a great desire, he had a great desperation. Now, when you have this desire, how desperate are you to want to see it happen? Now, the man had to be sent out to some cave somewhere where the rest of the lepers were living. How many of you have seen the film Ben-Hur? The old version. Have you seen the film, the old version? Okay, if you haven't watched, the old version is better than the new version. And his mother and his sister are sent out in the movie to this place. It is similar to that. They have to go down into a deep valley, and that's where they stay. And people will come and put whatever bread and take it to the edge of that place and low it down to that place where they could take. They could not come out to buy things in the shops. They could not come into the city at all. They could not come within the city limits at all. Because the rabbis had rules that even God did not have. That if they were to stand behind a house and they were to look out from behind a house, that whole house would have to be torn down, stripped down, scraped from the ground, everything taken outside of the city and thrown. So no leper would ever dare to come into town, because if people saw them, that meant they could risk their homes being lost. So they would make sure that the lepers would never enter the city. But this man risked it all. Sometimes I ask myself, how desperate am I to see God do something in my family, something within the church? Just ask yourself, am I desperate enough to risk it all so that I can get a miracle from God? How desperate am I really? Am I willing to lose meals, sleepless nights, seeking God so that I can get a miracle? I want a miracle. That should be the cry of your heart. Come on, church. The reason I preach like this is because we believe in a miracle working God. Now, God, we say, is not an idol who is, you know, who just stands there, got hands cannot move, eyes cannot see, ears cannot hear, legs cannot walk. We say all these things about idolatry, and yet when we talk about our God, how desperate am I to see God work? So there was this tremendous desperation in the heart of this man to seek after Christ. Desperation to be made whole. Out of all the lepers in that colony, one man had a desperate need. Desperate enough to take a risk, get out there into a town, try to find this Christ, meet with him. He also was a man who made a tremendous or great discovery. He discovered something about Jesus. Now, this is what I like. I've said this many times before to you. I like to meet the people who told these people about Christ. For example, who told the woman with the issue of blood that Jesus had power to heal? Who was the one who told the Canaanite woman to travel all the way from her hometown, Syrophoenicia, to come into a Jewish community, a woman into a Jewish community, a Gentile woman, and to talk to this rabbi? Who told? Who told these people about Christ that they would come out just to meet with him? I like to meet those people, because the way they told those people about Christ caused this leper. Somebody risked it. I don't know how they got into the valley or whatever, or even from the top beginning to shout down to all the lepers. I picture this man or this woman standing. I'm sure it's a woman, because now most of the women are braver than men. And she's standing out there and screaming down into the valley, "Somebody hear me, there is a rabbi in town who's got the power to touch and to heal and to restore." But the way she told it convinced one leper. Sometimes, you know, when you preach to a crowd of people, you don't know how many are going to respond. But if there is one who will break the lines, who will come out of the shadows, and say, "I want to have a miracle in my life," then I tell you, it's worth it all. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, loses his own soul? For if there is one sinner who comes into the kingdom of God, there is great rejoicing in heaven. One. Come on, amen. The shepherd leaves his 99, goes looking after one. For that one, for that one, for that one. The one, that one could be you. Hearing all these things, do you not get frustrated? I don't know about you, but I get. Almost every morning I'm praying the same thing. God, I mean, all these things happen and we come service. I am preaching this. I am hearing this. I mean, nonstop, all the time, reading books about this. But isn't it frustrating when you hear all these things and then when it doesn't happen? It's frustrating to me. So I'm expecting good things to happen. I'm expecting transformation. I'm expecting the Christ of the Bible to become alive, for he is the same today and forever. Not just yesterday, but today. Christ the same today. He will be forever. He was yesterday, but he is the same today. And somebody told this person that they would risk everything. There was a great discovery. He heard about Jesus, and somehow he believed this report. He believed it so much that he would risk his life to come out, get a hold of this Christ. If it is so, if this is so, then I must be. What's the point of just staying in my situation and nothing's happening? I might as well throw it all away and just, if I die, I die. You see, the point is, what if nothing happens? I always say this. People often say, what if nothing happens? But what if something happens? So his question was not, what if nothing happens? His question was, but what if something happens? What if somehow I get to meet, I do not know all the hindrance that I'm going to face. All I know is I'm going to face him. I must meet with him. I will overcome every obstacle in my way so that I can go and meet with him. Doesn't matter what the obstacles are. I'm going to keep on pressing in until I come and meet him. Tell you something, man. When that happens, that's called faith. I was talking to Jonathan and all of that and telling them, I said, listen, until you are desperate, God doesn't meet with you. Our problem is we got the, you know, the tida apa, laissez-faire kind of spirit. You know, happen, lah. Just pray and see, lah. Pray, lah. Pray. Naman, I pray for you, lah. Okay, we pray, lah. We pray, lah. See what happens, lah. Don't worry, lah. I pray for you. But you never pray. You know you don't pray. I pray for you. No, I know you don't pray. I wish you did. Most of our prayers are, Lord, please bless the person. That's it. There is no sense of discovering that Christ is the one and a desperation to let him be Lord. All right. Good thing about this guy is also when he comes to Christ, he recognizes the sovereignty of Jesus. If you will, you can heal me. Which simply means it is up to you to decide whether you want to or not. You can heal one and not heal me. I understand that. All you have to say is, not you today. That's fine. You are sovereign. Can you understand what I'm saying? See, we have to know that just because, I have to understand that just because God met the financial need of this individual does not mean that he has to meet my need. If he says no to me, I have to accept it because he is God. Come on. I don't question him and go, how come you meet that person and they didn't give me? How come you give that fellow money, you didn't give me money? Not fair. Well, as Ancient Wong or Angie Wong likes to say, life is unfair. Accept it. He makes his rain shine when he wants it to shine. He makes the sun come down. I mean, it makes the rain fall. What time is it, by the way? Yeah, way past my bedtime. Okay. Makes his rain fall. And makes the sun shine. Jack is really going to pick up on this one. All right. So the thing is, he is in control. He is the boss. Sometimes when your boss gives somebody a raise, don't give you a raise. I mean, no point you getting upset. You can get upset, but you dare not get upset in his presence, do you? You get upset outside. How come the one got raised? I don't get raised. Not fair. Yeah, but you don't go to him and say, how come are you like that? You're not fair one. You know, he'll just tell you, you know. Take a long leap up, you know, whatever. So anyway, God is sovereign, and he recognized, if you are willing. Now, there was no question as to Jesus' ability. He already made up his mind. The reason I risked everything is because I just know that you have the power to do this. But whether you will do it for me or not, that's another question. So I leave it with you. I'm asking you, will you do it for me? So we looked at the leper. Now let's look at Jesus for a little while. Now I want you to look at his amazing grace. The thing about Jesus was, what is interesting, at the beginning, remember when Jesus went into Peter's mother-in-law's house? Remember that time? There were four disciples there. If you read just backwards a little bit, you find Peter and Andrew and the other two guys, James and John, they were all four of them with him. So they come out and different things happen. Now somehow, Jesus knew there was this leper coming to meet him. All right? Now, in order to meet the leper, he cannot take these disciples with him. Because if he did, and they saw him from a distance, they would start screaming. And the crowds would come in and kill the leper before the leper got to Jesus. You following with me? All right? So sometimes Jesus in his wisdom runs away from the disciples so that he can do a miracle for somebody else. All right. Take that and let it register a bit. Sometimes he's not with us all of the time because he's too busy looking out for people who really need him. We like to keep him all the time, right? Have you noticed the disciples, they always like to keep Jesus? Little children come, don't disturb Jesus, now please, he's ours. Huh? The women come, please, don't, he's ours. Stay away. Every time they are trying to push people away, until they receive the Holy Spirit, then everything changed. Before that, just Jesus and me. That's the title of my message anyway. But now Jesus deliberately figures out that there is a man. There is nothing the Lord does not know. He knows when there is an attempt made to reach him, long before the man comes out of his cave. He already starts to prepare ways and opportunities to meet with the man. He knows the direction that the man will take. He knows that the man will try to look out from way outside from the city to find out which best way to enter, where the crowds would be and which secret roads to take in order to escape everything. And so he can see the man way before the man comes in. Long before the foundations of the world was laid, Jesus Christ already knew what you and I would be going through. What you are going through today, what you and I are going through today, is nothing because he already saw it way in the past. Come on. He knows my every step. God makes a way where there is no way. So somehow, in his wisdom and in his grace, he allowed the path that the man to take would not have anyone in it. Somehow there would be no dog coming out to bark at him in order to raise, you know, people's anxiety, and people would come out and open the window and look out, why is the dog barking, and see the leper. Somehow he made sure that all these things were organized so that the man could hide stealthily, sneaking through every alley, back street, and coming from place to place, sneaking behind walls, hoping, praying in his heart that nobody would see him. Jesus was behind it all. And then he knew where the man would make his entrance or exit into the a place where he could meet him personally. That's the grace of God. He knows every road that we take. He knows every direction, every route that we take in order to try to find him. He knows the struggles. He knows the battles. He knows the obstacles we have to go through. Sometimes it's so hard in order to pray. We are still trying to go through. Then we give up a little bit. We go back and we say, no point praying. Then we try again one more time. Let me pray again. And then like nothing's happening. And he knows every road that we are taking. He knows. And he's just waiting for an opportunity where you will just step out of your shadow. There he is, ready to meet you one to one. Amen. That's the grace of God. That's why, you know, it's wonderful whenever I pray. Sometimes, you know, when you are praying, you feel like nothing is happening, and then you keep on praying. Church, let me encourage you, please. Don't give up because nothing is happening. Keep on praying. Sometimes you want to really seek God, and then you pray, and then you feel like the heavens are like brass. You want to give up. Don't give up. Keep on pressing through, because there will be an opening. And when that opening takes place, you will meet with him where you can just ask him something so simple. Come on, amen. The amazing grace of God is always there waiting for us. He knows what we are going through. There is nothing, the Bible says, there is nothing that man could tell Jesus about us, because he knows everything that's going on inside of our hearts. He knows. This is the good thing about our God. Come on. Huh? He is full of grace, amazing grace. And it is that grace that brought me thus far. Grace will lead me home. Isn't that what we sing? It was grace that brought me, and it is grace that will lead me home. It is grace that brought us in. The fact that you are sitting here this morning, it's because of amazing grace. You should not be here. You could have been somewhere else. But the fact that you are sitting here this morning is because God, by his grace, has created an opening that you can come in. Can I hear an amen? Hallelujah. Look at his amazing compassion. The man is now covered with leprosy, which could have taken many years now. Little at a time, the disease began to eat up on him. Now, they say, actually, the person's fingers do not drop off. It's just that they cannot sense anything. So if they put their finger in the fire, they would not know it's in the fire. If they lie down beside a campfire and they put their hand down, the fingers would be burned up. Or if rats come and eat the fingers, that's what happens in India. The rats would come and just eat up on the fingers or eat on their nose, and they wouldn't even know because they are on the outside totally sanitized. I mean, doctor, help me. We got a couple of doctors in the house. it's just anesthetized. They are anesthetized. I mean, it's just that they cannot feel anything. So that's how one of the guys who works in India, I think I shared this with you last time, he wanted to go back to his house, and he works among lepers, and he was trying to go in, and he forgot his key, and the little boy said, let me help you with it. He put his finger into the key hole with his finger, and then he turned it, and the door opened, and he pulled out his finger, and there was just a bone. The boy was leprous, of course, you know, and the boy didn't even know. He just, I can do this, and push his finger right through, not feeling anything. And that's what it's like. Okay? But so when it began and he found out, you can imagine the crush that he felt in his own spirit, the tears and the crying in the home, the children screaming, Daddy now has to get out of the house. The pain that followed after that. And then year after year, you know, he was no longer, he could not have contact with anyone, no contact at all, absolutely no contact, out there all alone. Now, after so many years of suffering like this and the hideousness of his own sickness, not being able to even hold, who would want a mirror? What's the point of having a mirror? Nothing. He could not even look at himself. And now suddenly he comes in, and the first thing Jesus does is he touches him. He touched this man. He's not supposed to. He's a rabbi. And nobody touches a leper. Nobody, let alone a rabbi. But Jesus touched him and then said, I am willing, be clean. But the touch of the master is an amazing thing. How often, you know, we sing that song, you know, just one touch of his glory. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, just touch me, Lord. While on others you are calling, do not pass me by. Just touch, just one touch of his hand, and everything will change. One touch of the hand of Jesus. The compassion that flows with it. He does not touch to prove his ability to heal. He touches because the man needed the touch. He had not been touched. Little babies grow much faster when you touch them and hug them and kiss them. That's why Judah is becoming heavier and heavier, because he's getting all the kisses from everybody, including all you members, and you have to take him back and baptize him and sanitize him after church is over. That's why they grow, because they are being touched. They are shown love. The touch is always a sign. The word is touch. He didn't handle the man. He didn't give the man a Pentecostal massage. Too many people get pushed in church rather than touched in church. I'd rather get touched than pushed. Amen, brother. Amen. Huh? The touch of God, gentle touch. Yes, he just touched. There was no reason to touch him. He sent his word and healed. Huh? The centurion servant. Jesus just spoke the word. And the servant at home got healed. He doesn't have to touch. But he knew that this was a greater need than anything else. It was the need of his spirit, man. I need a touch. If you are willing, Jesus touched him. Said, I am willing. I want you to look at Jesus' amazing power. That touch brought about instant healing. Now, this is what the Lord has been ministering to me over the past few days. Have you noticed that we do things so differently from the Bible? Give you an example. In the Bible, Jesus would heal someone and then preach. Today, we preach first and then we pray for people. Jesus was moved with compassion all of the time. So when they brought a man into the through the roof and put him down at his feet. Remember that one? Huh? Put him down at his feet. The first thing Jesus did was raise him up. Then preach. Huh? In the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit fell on them, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak. A miracle took place. Then Peter stands up and he preached. And he said, now this is that. And you know, that's what God wants to do. Now, sometimes we feel we got to preach to our friends, we got to preach to people. Listen, just pray for them. They're unbelievers. Don't say, oh, you got to become a Christian first. And then, No. Just pray for them. Let God touch them. Then they begin to think, what is this? And you can say, now this is that. Then we start preaching. Then we start saying, hey, listen. And that's what that's the thing. You know, God is working in my heart. David, understand that my love for people is more important than a message to them. I love them. I want to touch them. Here is a man lying there and he's, you know, on the mat there. He has been paralyzed all his life. Well, most of his life. He needs me to touch him. He doesn't need a sermon. He needs a touch from heaven. The woman with the issue of blood, I don't stand there, preach to her, and then say, all right, now let me touch. No. She needed a touch. He just reached out, touched, healed. Then he stops and he says, now who did this? Now he's got a message to preach. Come on, amen. See, the Lord wants to touch us more than we can understand. We sometimes feel, I've got to have enough faith. I got to be prayed up. I got to have all these things before the Lord touches me. No. He wants to touch you irrespective whether you know your Bible from Genesis right up to the book of Revelation and the concordance and the maps. Long before you even know these things, man, He loves you. And it is to you that He wants to give this miracle. Come on, amen. All He needs is a hungry, desperate heart to see Him work, to believe that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or imagine. If I could just believe that He has. Now, come on. If a leper who has not been in town, hearing all the things out, I mean, he just gets whatever news this person told him. Before that, he was not out there in the streets witnessing Jesus doing miracles, hearing His sermons, nothing. Somebody just passed a word saying that, and this guy believed it, man. Clung on to it with his life and saying, if this is so, if it is true, then I must find Him. I must get an answer. I must get a miracle. And when we have that kind of an attitude, guess what? God always comes through for us. Can I hear an amen? So this morning, it is basically a cry of the Spirit, a cry of God's heart to you saying, you know, if you are in a place of need, don't wait. Don't say, you know, okay, I'll think about it. Man, if I am in a need, I want to come to God quickly. I want to make sure that He touches me. When we hear a message like this, it simply means that God is in the house to do something good for us. Amen? It doesn't matter how extreme you think your problem is. When you look at this guy, and you begin to think, if God can heal. Now, the wonderful thing about the power of God is this. It says, and he was cleansed, or he was made whole. Now, if you look into the Bible, when it talks about made whole, talks about the restoration of everything, which meant that now his nose grew back, his ears grew back, fingers started to grow back. The man was made whole, completely whole. His skin, example, back into 2 Kings, there was a man by the name of Naaman. And when Naaman got healed, it says, he himself said, the skin was like that of a newborn baby. Skin like a baby. All of you are putting all kinds of stuff on your face to have skin like a baby. In fact, you would be very satisfied to have skin like the bottom of a baby. Smooth, like the bottom of a baby, we say. Smooth, beautiful skin. Restored to newness of life. Now that is the miracle. That when God touches you, there is a complete... Can you imagine how the man felt? Now here's the point. So Jesus sternly warns the guy. It says sternly warns, strictly warns, and says to him, follow the procedure. You were declared a leper by whom? The priest. Only the priest can declare you a leper. Out you go. Now, in order to make things right, go back to the priest according to the law of Moses. Show yourself to the priest so that he can now declare you healed. Because he is the only one who has the authority to declare you healed. I say you're clean, you're whole, but go back. Why? Because that is the procedure. It is a testimony. I am, let's say, my name is, what name shall I give? Any name I give, all of you are here. All right, David. I am David the leper. You know me. This was, you declared me to be a leper on this and this date. You sent me away. Now look at me. I'm totally healed. That's a testimony. But instead of doing this, the man did not go back. He went around sharing this. Now listen, this does more damage. Why? Because now, can you imagine this guy and putting him next to like Brad Pitt? And now Brad Pitt goes back. Who's going to believe him? Hey, you know, I was a leper and this guy, Jesus. I mean, you were just working for Jesus. How much did he pay you? Who are you? We don't know you. We only know, because remember, this guy is now years gone by. They only know the man who is like this. They don't know the Brad Pitt. Come on. Huh? You understand what I'm saying? So when he goes back, nobody's going to recognize him. Unless he goes to the priest and the priest declares, this is a miracle. This is this man. And when that happens, then the testimony becomes great. But instead of that, sometimes, you know, our disobedience places Jesus in deserted places. He cannot do what he really wants to do. We get him out, ostracized from society because of the way we disobeyed the Lord. Huh? Our disobedience can cause Jesus to be in deserted places. May I just say this? We are having a water baptism. For goodness sake, if you are a believer, if you want the fullness of the blessing of the Lord, you must have water baptism. Why? Repent and be baptized that you may receive the promise. If we want the promises of God fulfilled in our lives and we have not been baptized, you better quickly get baptized. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then you must be baptized. Can I hear an amen? All right, so we will be having a water baptism. And it is our disobedience that does not bring. Why, God, I do everything right, I pray or so, I read the Bible or so, yet not. Could it be that we have been disobedient in certain areas? Because disobedience robs us from the fulfillment of God's promises over our lives. God wants to bless us, but he has also sternly warned us concerning certain things. Now, if we don't obey him, then the fullness of the blessings or the promises of God cannot be fulfilled in our lives. Simple. Amen? But here's the good thing about Jesus. Knowing that this man would disobey him, knowing how he would come into the streets, he also knew that the man would disobey him. Knowing that that would put him in a bad position. Now, if I was Jesus, I'd say, man, I better not heal this guy because after I heal him, he's going to make a mess of everything. Then I cannot continue preaching in cities. Is that right? Come on. But aren't you glad that I'm not Jesus? He just sees a need. Somebody comes to him. His word is true. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That everyone who comes to me, I will not cast them away. I will receive them. I will bless them. I will give them the desires of their heart. As long as they draw near to me, I will draw near to them. I cannot change my word. Though we are unfaithful, God abides faithful. Faithful is he. We sang the song, right? Faithful, faithful. He is faithful. He cannot deny himself. That's who he is. Hallelujah. That's a good word this morning. Amen. We understand this, that God wants to come in the midst of our, no matter how extreme our situation may be, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Amen. Would you stand? Let's stand. Come on up, musicians. Hallelujah. Okay, we can take this one off right now and put Sherwin's picture up there, please. Visa. take this picture out. We want to put Sherwin's picture. No, I'm kidding. All right, not, can't. They don't have your picture. You didn't give them one. All right. Hallelujah. But I really believe this morning God wants to really minister to us. So as we worship Him, come on. If you have a need in your life, and whether you're sick in your body, whatever it is, why don't you just come and stand in the front very quickly, and let's just believe God will touch you, God will minister to you. You believe that the word was for you this morning. Somehow you believe God is speaking to you. Come and